really funny.
I think they're having a problem with the coffee pot.
Okay.
Sit down. Thank you very much. God bless you guys. Well, what a great privilege to be able to share the greatness of God's Word. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was listening to the manifestations, my heart just started beating really fast of the depth of the love that God was trying to communicate to us. And see, and I know what my teaching's about. It's about the depth of God's great mercy and great love. So when I was sitting back there listening to the manifestations, I thought, what a great God. And what great people, you guys, us, the family of God, that we have the capability within us through His Spirit to have that depth of love and mercy to give to one another when the time is right and it's needed. So today, in going to God's Word, I really want you to leave here believing even greater the manifestations that were spoken this morning of His great love towards you personally. And if you have any doubt, my prayer is that by the time this teaching is over, there'll be no doubt. There'll be no questioning. Am I good enough? Does He really love me? Because the Word's going to show us the depth of His love and mercy. In God's Word, we find great knowledge and power in His power. We find wisdom. In His Word, we see a loving, tender, powerful, and just God, don't we? That's what we see when we go to His Word to find Him. In His Word, we see the plan for man's salvation. I mean, we just finished celebrating Resurrection Saturday, didn't we? And being mindful of the things that Jesus Christ did for us, what a great love that was in His life towards us. And sometimes, you know, we can celebrate these things and we can have such busy lives that we get out there and we forget the depth of this. But today, you know what? As we begin to understand His plan for us, and His plan of redemption for us, then we're going to understand His great mercy and great love. The depths of it will begin, because it's like the tip of the iceberg when you start to try to understand God's love. But He shows you. Let's go to a very familiar verse, John 3:16. That's where we're going to start. John 3:16, for all of us in this room, it's a familiar verse. It's a verse we've probably heard many, many times. But as I sat working on this teaching, I thought to myself, you know what? You never can hear this enough. And we're going to read a few more verses in the context here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever... Does that include everybody? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the redemption plan. That's the depth of God's mercy and love towards us. He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. Now, those of you that are parents, I have a son. He's my only son. And I tell you, I just can't get my mind wrapped around sacrificing Him for anything or anyone. I mean, sometimes I might think about it. You know, not really Josh. Josh is listening. He'll get this CD. But you understand what I'm saying? That's huge. That's huge. And for us to know the word in that arena, in that area, and not continue to hold it tight within our thinking, that when we have issues, when we make mistakes, when we're being under attack, because the word says it's a spiritual battle, and we're trying to be talked out of who we are, of the great sacrifice God made for us, we just shouldn't let it go. Don't even go there. Don't let those thoughts stay in your mind, because this love is greater than that. This love is bigger than anything this world could ever try to comprehend. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light, who's the light? Jesus Christ. The light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Light dispels darkness, and those that love darkness don't want to be exposed. You know, I like to give you guys assignments when I teach a little bit. What I thought would be cool this week, I just want you to try it sometime, is sit in a room, the bathroom's the best place, where it's totally dark, with a match. Light the match and watch what happens to the darkness. A little tiny flame from a match puts light in that whole room. That's the power of light. If it's the light of God's word, the light of his son, Jesus Christ. And men that love the light, look what he says in verse 21 about them. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifested that they were wrought in God. I mean, don't you really get blessed when God's worked in your heart to do something and you do it? And you see the profit of that? Because there will be profit. That's the manifestation of light in our lives. That's what we want to do, because Jesus Christ came and died for us, and God loved us enough to send him, and that great love and great depth of his mercy and love is something that we should never lose perspective on. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4. Start in verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is what? And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Therein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation means payment or atoning sacrifice. And he didn't do this because we loved him first. You know what? He didn't do this because we were good enough. He did this for one reason: love. His love. The depth of that love. The mercy in his heart towards us. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. The greatest manifestation of God's love, of the nature of the depth of God's love, was in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the payment for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Think about that for a minute. You know what? This isn't a story tale. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a book of fables. This is God's word, which he magnified above his name. And he's telling us very plainly from his word how much he loves us and what lengths he would go to express that love to us and to have a relationship with us. And I'm telling you, when you think about it, when you sit there and dwell in the word of this area of the word, You really do begin to feel even greater than before, an understanding in your heart of that love. And it's a great thing to feel, God's love. Ephesians 2. You guys are there, I'm not. Chapter 2, let's go to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Who was rich in mercy? And who has the great love? And who lives in us? The Spirit of God is in us. So do we have, is the capability in us, the capability, the power to live like that towards each other? I mean, you know what? This is about God's love to us, our love to the Father, and the ability to minister and serve and give and love and live in the one body he's called us to. That's what real life is about. I don't care what they say out there. That's what real life is about. And it started because God loved Adam and Eve, even in their sin. I want to read the Amplified version of this verse. But God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. That's why he did this. And I want to read also from Walter Cummings, though, A Journey Through the Acts and the Epistles, because I think his translation is really great, too, of this verse, Ephesians 2:4. However, God, who is rich in mercy, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us with. That's why he sent his son. That's why he wants us to understand his word so that we can begin to understand the depth of his mercy and love. You stop and think, why did God do this? Because we're great, right? Because we're so good. Because we were great from day one. No, I don't think so. Look at Titus. What I want you to see right now is just a little bit of what he took us from. You know, man, especially if they're not born again of God's seed or they haven't heard enough of the word to believe, it's not real hard for them to think they're great. You know, and everybody knows I love sports. But I mean, look at the great baseball players, football players, basketball players, and the egos that they carry because they don't understand where their strength, their abilities come from. You know? Look at the men who have money and power in this world. They think they got it themselves. But you know what? What we're going to read is exactly where they are. Not where we are, where they are. Titus chapter 3, go to verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. We were hateful and hating one another. Whoa. That's where we were. This is only one little section. You'll find this stuff all through the Word. Look in Romans. And then remember why God sent his only begotten Son. But, verse 4, after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you think, after reading that verse, that there is one thing that you could do that could stop God's love? in your life? No. And we've all been there. We've all made mistakes. We all do foolish things. Don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine. Even to this day, there is times when you are attacked by the adversary to talk you out of this. Why should that surprise us? What was the first thing you tried to talk Jesus Christ out of after the temptations? If you be the Son of God, then do this. Ever had the thought, God, man, is God's grace really going to cover this? Have I blown it? Oh, man, I am so worthless. I can't do anything right. How is God ever going to listen to my prayers? Ever had those thoughts? We'll wipe them out, because according to God's word, we're reconciled back to God. We have justification, righteousness, sanctification. We're sons of God. We're victorious in every situation. When we look to the Father and are obedient to His word, nothing can stop us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even our own mistakes. Not because of our righteousness, but because of whose? Jesus Christ. That's the plan. See, that's if you understand that plan and you begin to understand the grace of God, the love of God becomes clearer and clearer in our minds. Look at Romans chapter 5. And remember, this is when God acted. Okay, way back in the garden when Adam and Eve were really in trouble, they were in deep. And we got in deep right with them at that point, even though we weren't here yet. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Well, maybe somebody would do that. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Maybe. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, what were we? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We didn't just get reconnected to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and believing upon that. We got sonship. And that is huge. That is really huge. And the word here in verse 8, commendeth, that word means to prove or to demonstrate his love. What a loving God we have. What a loving Savior we have, to have taken upon themselves this great act of mercy and love. For us to be able to walk in it today as men and women of God. And it's simple. God doesn't ask a whole lot out of us. You know that? He really doesn't. He just wants us to look to him for the things we need in our lives. And to go to his word, study, to show yourself approved unto God. To understand his heart better. To be able to communicate that to one another greater. To be able to draw from it. If you don't put the word in here, you don't have it to draw from when the attack comes. So it's vitally important to understand God's redemption plan for us and how to utilize that in our lives. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this whole section in context where we started in 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. I want to start in verse 1 and read some verses. I want you to think about the word of God that you're reading and listening to. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. Dead is dead. Spiritually, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now this great fourth verse. But God. Who? God. Not your mother, not your dad, not your brother, not your best friend, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My gosh. He sent his only begotten Son to give us eternal life, to reconnect a relationship with him that was destroyed thousands of years ago. And thousands of years ago, Jesus Christ did this act. And since then, we have had the privilege, mankind, of walking in fellowship with our Father. He did this not because we deserved it, but because we needed it, and he loves us. See, get it? He loves us. It doesn't matter what we do. I know that's hard to fathom. Now, will our lives be better if we're obedient to the word and we renew our minds like God tells us to? Well, what do you think? Duh. Yeah. Is that a responsibility we should willingly do? Absolutely. But you know what? He loves us whether we do it or we don't do it. Now me, I'm for doing it. I have a lot more fun when I'm in fellowship with my Father and I'm doing what I know I need to do according to the word. It's fun. Life is supposed to be fun. I don't think God sent his only begotten Son and Jesus Christ did the act that he did at Calvary because they didn't want us to enjoy our lives. No, just the opposite. We left off at 7, right? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. People are going to look at us and they're going to see God's kindness in our lives because of Jesus Christ. That can happen. Have you ever been somewhere that people just like you? I mean, Barney. You know, who doesn't like Barney? I mean, really, Barney's a great man. And you know what? I've seen, we'll stop and get gas, and he's over there talking to this guy, and he's there for 20, 30 minutes, and this guy's poured out his whole soul to Barney, all of his problems, and Barney's fed him the word, and he never met the guy before. There's something when we walk by the Spirit of God and not by our flesh that attracts people to us so we can speak the word of God and love people unconditionally. And it's the light that came within our lives when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. What a loving God to give us that. What a loving Savior. Look in verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. How can anybody think they're a self-made man if they read that verse of Scripture? It is the gift of God. It has nothing to do with our goodness, but it has everything to do with our ability to walk by the Spirit. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, do you think you have a responsibility to walk in good works, to do good things? Yes. It does, our righteousness, our salvation isn't dependent upon our works. It is a gift from God. But God asks us to walk Christ-like. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Man, that's where we were before we believed Romans 10, 9, and 10. That's where mankind was until God was able to work his plan and Christ died at Calvary and he raised him from the dead. That's where we were, without hope and without God. But now, Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath broken down, he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. All died in one man, all were made alive in one man, the man Jesus Christ. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. God, our Father. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God Almighty. That's who your Father is. That's who you can go to without any sense of guilt or shame or condemnation, no matter how bad you screwed up. Wow, think about that. Think about the mercy and the love that he has shown forth to us in that act of his plan of redemption, and the love that Jesus Christ had to do it before he even knew us. He didn't even know us. We didn't even exist. We weren't even a gleam in anybody's eye. Because the gleam we were, their gleam wasn't up yet. You know what I'm saying? He did this for mankind because of his love. You know, the giving of his son to die in our place over 2,000 years ago is still the greatest demonstration of God's great mercy and great love towards us. The act of Jesus Christ dying on Calvary, going through what he went through, is the greatest act of love next to God's. So you know what let's do? Let's really, really endeavor to remember these things. Remember that God loves you. Remember that God is there for you in any circumstance, any situation, that he will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will only give you good things if you allow him to. Let's really endeavor to live that way. And loving him with all our heart, all our soul, all our minds, and all our strength every day that we draw breath. What a great life we will have if we can train our minds, renew our minds, to do the things that God has so freely given us to do. Okay? God bless you.